Back here on the Press Box Morning Show here on a beautiful and perfect Friday morning. Here with you on ESPN Las Vegas, live from the Finley Toyota Studios. Well, Ryan the Hockey Guy, 7:45, will go over the game last night as well as Gallant's comments. We'll also talk to Brad Powers going over the NFL and college football that happens on for the college football playoff as well as the NFL wild card. And Mayor Oscar Goodman, the former mayor, will join us at 8:30. We'll talk about the life of David Stern and his relationship with the former NBA commissioner. And then we'll also give away a pair of Chris Angel tickets as well. And we also have a chance for you to win a pair of tickets for a Golden Knights game against the Blues tomorrow. We'll do that in the next hour. But joining us now is sports injury expert of Southern Nevada, Dr. Caleb Pinneger with Crivetti Orthopedics. You can go online to CrivettiOrtho.com and check out all the testimonials and relationships that they have been building for so many years and all the lives that they've helped make better. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Morning,
good
morning, Doc.
Well,
it's a big day here in the press box.
You caught Ed at a great day.
I saw. I walked in. I was like, whoa, do I need to give you a minute here? What are we?
So as Ed's going through.
Why did you pull out the syringe for a sedative? Why are you trying to give me a shot at this point?
I kept waving them in, and they didn't want to come in because they wanted to wait till you were done yelling.
In the black bag, and all of a sudden, you weren't the only ones getting a shot around here, my friend.
They should have. Do you have any extra for Ed?
Oh, yeah. I got all sorts of stuff. We could really fix this problem.
You'd knock that out in a second.
He's got like a blow dart. Get him right there.
Right in the neck.
So we got a lot of injuries to get into just for the NFC and AFC wild card. How's everything going though for you for the new year before we get into that?
Hey, New Year's exciting. New Year's it's a great time to be in Nevada. I love the weather right now. And on top of that, it's just a good time to kind of take your life and say, hey, what am I going to do this year? You know, try to make a change in your life that's going to be one you can achieve. instead of setting yourself up for failure immediately, let's make 2020 awesome. And I, especially as you guys are all making New Year's resolutions, something I wanted to point out was by the end of January, that you know you're 3-4 weeks into your new workout program, you're 3-4 weeks into your new exercise, expect to be sore. And you know if that soreness concerns you, get right over. Let me check that out. But otherwise, Just know that's coming. I mean, this is a good time to hit the gym. You know, the gym's going to be busier than ever, so don't get scared of it. But this is absolutely going to happen 3-4 weeks down the road. You're going to say, oh, my gosh, I've done something.
This Peloton is a bad idea.
You ramped it up too fast. Yeah, yeah. Your wife got you the Peloton. She's like, hey, yo, fatty, you got to get this fixed. And so now it's just time to recognize that, hey, ramp it up slow, go be careful, and by all means, let us know if we got to help you out.
With the look of disgust on the son's face at January 1 at the gym, because he's here like 5 or 6 days, but January is a busy day.
Oh, yeah.
So he's trying to get through his list and stuff like that, and he looks at me, he's like shaking the head. I go, come back tomorrow. It'll be fine.
Exactly.
There'll be like 80% less people here. It'll be back to normal.
You wait a week.
You wait a week,
like,
and it's like,
it's
back to normal.
Town.
Hey. Yeah, exactly.
Yep.
Well, but that's the thing. Like, you start out the year and you really want to go hard. You want to make good on like the promises. You want to build a better life. I mean, really, that's all it is. Mm-hmm. But I think for you, even there's people that are kind of like holding on, like, oh, you know, maybe I should or should not get this surgery. And I think that takes a lot of like getting into like just as somebody might approach a new health regimen or lifestyle change. Thinking about maybe getting some work done is also the best thing to do, because the longer you wait, the worse it's going to get.
Oh yeah, I mean, if you're saying, you know, I'm just gonna I'm gonna put things on hold. I'm 50, but my knee's killing me, and I don't want to get something done until I'm in my 70s, because there's no way it's the wrong attitude to take a look at how to enjoy your year. There's so many things that can be done.
Well, it's because what you'll do this time of the year, what do? You plan vacations, and next thing you know, you're like, well, my knee hurts and my back is this, and like, I don't think I can do it. You know, you hold yourself back from things could do, and the things you regret in life are the things you don't do anyway. So I think by at least getting a chance to go to Crivetti Ortho, people can go and at least find out where they stand, and the things that they can do this year, they can go and like actually go and have a better life if they get it done now and don't wait.
Hey, and the odds are, you know, you're not walking in with the guarantee that someone's going to offer you a knife immediately. This is hey, let's look at where you're at. Let's see what we can do to make this year better, and let's get started. Let's get you back to going.
All right, let's get started on the NFL.
Big weekend, a wild card, and the Vikings are a big underdog. They go into New Orleans with the Saints, and we've seen them without Dalvon Cook, and that's not usually a great thing. It's interesting. He hurt the shoulder. I think he's going to try to play this week, But this is an interesting quote from Dalvin Cook. It's a weird injury. It's kind of like when I land in an awkward spot, it hurts, so I try not to land where it doesn't hurt. It's kind of hard for an NFL player going 100 miles an hour to figure out, like, I'm not going to land on this part of my shoulder. He said it's a physical sport. At the end of the year, there's some bumps and bruises, but I'll be all right. So what you've done on Dalvin Cook here, and we talked about this with Josh Jacobs as well, how much potential damage is it, and what does it depend upon if he keeps playing?
I mean, sprains just don't get better if you keep playing. That's the whole problem, is that it's just an issue of the tolerance of pain versus the ability to perform. Can you put some ice on it before you're running out there? Do you get a little bit of local anesthetic put into your joint so that you can not feel it? It's a stable joint, but every time you get hit on that portion, it's gonna light you up. And so That's what he's talking about. Can he curl his shoulder and land on a little bit different angle as he's coming down? Because, you know, if someone wraps you up at the knees, you can control slightly how you come down on the shoulder. But you better believe it. If two people hit you coming, two trains colliding side to side, you cannot control where that force hits you. So on the most part, I think he can give it a little bit of encouragement of where the impact comes. But yeah, sometimes he's going to take it wrong.
That worries me, because they took him out 2 weeks ago after taking a couple, I wouldn't say minor hits, but very normal hits.
Right.
And it seems as though that after 2 weeks later, I don't see how he's going to feel any better. I guess going against the Saints, that's huge in that game, because that's their main offensive weapon right now. If they can't get the running game going,
that's tough.
They'll never be able to keep up with New Orleans. Let's go to Bills against the Texans. And the J.J. Watt injury is really strange, because we see that even Quan Alexander has a similar injury on another team. But they had him both a torn pectoral injury at the same time. Normally, torn pecs, that you're out for the year. I mean, that just takes you out of
they
a whole range of motion.
Hurt. Yeah. I believe he got hurt. I was in Houston against the Raiders.
Raiders.
And afterwards, the Houston Raiders are saying, well, he's done. And I think he was even tweeting to that point. Like, he didn't think he was coming back at all.
Yeah, he sure did.
How do you come back then from a torn pectoral?
So, I mean, it's repaired. You have to put stitches in it. And you have to tack it back down. It's off of bone. Now you have to reattach it to bone. So that involves some anchors. It involves some stitches that never absorb. And that has to be re-tied down. And I'm pretty surprised. I mean, you're looking 2.5 months, and they're talking about these guys playing again. Now, there's a lot that goes into trying to get that to recover fast. The amount of, we call it biologic treatments. Some of that's injections with stem cells. Some of that's injections with your own plasma, trying to encourage that to heal quicker. And that's not published whether that was done, but I would almost guarantee if they're trying to consider getting these guys back before a four-month mark,
right,
they've got to have done something like that, because this is early. This is real early. They're going to, in my assumption of how they would get them to return to play, they're going to have a strap on the shoulder that's going to prevent how much hyperextension the arm gets.
Yeah, we were going to ask you about that.
They have to protect those guys, because in all truth, that's early. That's pretty
susceptible
surprising.
Then to tear it again?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, but
that's interesting, because, you know, J.J. Watt is known a lot for the ripping of the arm and how he comes through.
Exactly.
It just doesn't seem like that's enough time to now go out there and beat 100%. I mean, if you're going to play him, you're going to play him. I don't think in the playoffs they're going to limit his snaps. I'm assuming he's going to do whatever he can do, but I don't know how effective he can be.
Yeah, it'll limit him on that side. They're going to have to be monitoring, you know, who's he up against and where's he going to be, and just because that's going to limit what he can do with that arm. They have got to protect that arm. It is not ready to be 100%. But will he be a high enough percent to be effective on that team? I think that's what they're arguing, that he's going to be at least worth putting in, even on a limited basis.
It's Dr. Caleb Pinneger, sports injury expert with Crivetti Orthopedics here on ESPN Las Vegas. Here on ESPN Las Vegas with Ed Graney and Clay Baker. We wanted to ask you, though, a couple questions on even other guys. I'm not saying that Will Fuller injury, groin injuries are one thing. How are able to, like, what are techniques that you guys use for certain athletes to bring them back? Because we have seen certain conditions of that injury. People are able to bounce back after, like, some cold healing and stuff like that. It promotes some sort of healing in that regard.
Yeah, there's a lot of different techniques that our physical therapy colleagues use. There's active release, there's cryotherapy, there's the different types of massage techniques, and you're trying to take a muscle tear, partial tear or a strain, and you're trying to get the muscle stretched back out, and you're trying to reduce the inflammation so it's functional. And so it's almost always a non-surgical problem, but you're getting a lot of other people involved to get this back to healthy enough to play.
Texans are injured up, man. That's Will Fuller and a J.J. Watt injuries are pretty nasty.
Yeah, I think actually the Will Fuller hurts them more because he's such a speedster and he can break at any time. But, you know, his whole career since he got out of Notre Dame were hamstring issues. Like, this guy can't get his hamstrings right. How do bad hamstrings be susceptible to him pulling the groin, or does that have anything to do with that?
Well, your hamstring and your groin, I mean, they're attaching at a really similar area on your pelvis, and so the groin is just central, and the hamstring is in the back, and so, but when you're cutting, twisting, turning, all of those are active, and so if you have tight hamstrings, you're going to use, and if you have hamstring injuries, you're going to use the accessory muscles around to try to protect those hamstrings. So if you have a muscle that's weak, the next muscle in line is more susceptible to injury.
Okay.
And so it makes sense that he's had problems with this along the past and is developing problems that continue to the other supporting cast, because if your star can't perform, the other players involved in that muscle group are going to have to take a little extra work.
And Houston had a complete week of rest against Tennessee at the very end on that week 17, so they're probably good. We're up at Facebook Live at ESPN Las Vegas with Dr. Caleb Pinneger. All right, let's go to the Eagles and Zach Ertz. And kidney functions are very, very important for all football players as well as all human beings.
Right.
Zach Ertz's injury is seemingly like, you know what, they want to get him on practice and like see how things are going. We're not really sure the grade of this injury, but how cautious would you be considering he is not only a great player, but at the same time, his health is at a major risk?
Yeah, I mean, keep in mind, we've talked before how many of these products we all have. You know, you got two kidneys, you can be down one and still survive, but you don't want to be down one. And so with a kidney laceration, which it's not just a bruise, he's actually ruptured part of the capsule of the kidney, that needs to be pretty careful. And on top of that, there were some ribs in the area that had been broken. So,
good God.
So the support that protects that kidney from further bruising or potential re-rupture, that's also limited. So, and I was reading about how, could you put him in a flak jacket? Could you put him in a big supportive brace and have that? It's too risky. That's got to heal first. So this will be a slow one. I don't think they would never put him at risk to have that kidney re-rupture or to have the kidney undergo further damage, because you only get two of those. You don't really have a good way to repair or replace that unless you go get a transplant.
And I'm assuming, God forbid for him, something happened to the one, you're not being an NFL player with one kidney.
You know, that's a good question. I mean, people play football with one kidney, but your risk is high. In a person who's congenitally or born with one kidney, you're going to advise that person, hey, contact sports are probably not your thing.
Right.
But, you know, there's people that would still do it. But yeah, if you lost both of them, now you're on dialysis, and now you're looking on the transplant list. It's not a worthwhile risk.
When you did your fellowship with Dr. James Andrews, were you monitoring certain players that were being limited in practice, like in this regard, football players? But like, what kind of activities are you doing and not doing in limited practice form?
In limited practice, you're escalating their play, whether it be first a bicycle and then running and then drills. It's all staggered performance until you get to where you're ready for impact activities, where you're actually taking hits and participating in a contact drill.
Okay.
So it's a real, the amount of monitoring that the physician does is less, because that's so tightly monitored by the athletic training staff, by the position coaches. They watch that as the patient escalates till they're ready to play. And the physician's involved a lot at different marks along the path, but on the day-to-day, that's very tightly controlled by the remaining staff.
Miles Sanders is another Eagle with issues, and this is being termed a low ankle injury, inflammation. You've talked about in the past where some sprains can be as bad or worse than fractures, but he says he's going to go. I would assume the expectation is there's no way he can be 100% cutting.
Yeah, I mean, they'll tape him up like crazy. Anytime you see a guy who's had an ankle sprain that gets back, I mean, they come out with that boot of tape on, because you're right, you're going to lose a little bit of that mobility. But
so you're just going straight?
He'll still cut. He'll still cut. But they tape the ankle so tight and so constricted so that it's not going to re-injury. It's going to prevent that over-motion that can re-injure the ligament. But overall, he'll still cut and twist on it. You better believe it.
All right, so how much are you getting in the snow sports as the resort up at Lee Canyon is now open? You're going to get a lot more people going up there and giving it a try. How often do you see like ski and snowboarding accidents, knee and back?
Quite often.
Yeah.
I mean, ski boots, they don't protect your whole leg. You got to consider, I mean, your foot and ankle are so locked up that energy when you get thrown down the mountain when that kid cuts you off and you go when they call it the yard sale, right? When you go tumbling down the mountain and everything's flying off of your body. I mean, it's the knees, it's the ligaments of the knees. It can be the bones of the tibia and the fibula. Those are common after these. And a lot of shoulders. We see a lot of clavicle fractures.
Okay.
We see a lot of AC sprains because, you know, you got to catch yourself. And so your first reaction, you get your arms up and something might give. You hope it's not your face.
You're not on the slopes, are you?
I'm over at the lodge. Is what I'm doing. I may not.
You
come
find
back
the lodge immediately.
Well, yeah, I may not have a gold medal when I leave, but I win the after party. You know what I mean?
You can crush that. Yeah.
CrevettiOrtho.com is the website with Dr. Caleb Pinneger, sports injury expert of Southern Nevada. Thanks again for coming in today.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you guys. Thank you.
All right, when we come back, let's get into with the news of the day, what's going on in Big D. Then we'll join Ryan, the hockey guy, talk about VGK from last night.
The Houston Texans host the Buffalo Bills, followed by the Titans taking on Tom Brady and the Patriots for wild card.